Have your Bibles this morning. Three goals God has for us. This morning, from 1 Peter, I think we can look at Peter's example. If we were to take Peter and look at him, anybody tell me what he was known for? Tell me what he did for an occupation. Somebody tell me what his occupation. Peter was a what? Tommy? He was a fisherman, okay? He was sailor, fisherman. Somebody tell me one of the qualities you know about sailors. They usually have a pretty foul mouth. Well, he did. Remember when Jesus was being crucified, getting ready to, is being judged, condemned, you might say, he cursed and swore. He'd been with Jesus for 3 years. And the Lord said, after he got his life right, when he did that, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, caught his eye. And he went out and wept bitterly. In other words, he realized that he hadn't grown like he thought he had. He wasn't what he thought he should be. And it broke his heart. Now, our theme for the year is built up in him, and you can't grow unless you realize I need to. You can't fix something you don't know is broken. And so the Holy Spirit begins to work on Peter's life, and as Peter begins to try to put all things together that his king is dead, and then all of a sudden he sees you rise from the dead, He's there and he sees Jesus Christ, and his whole life is different from this day forward. He begins to grow. He begins to try to do the right things. He's trying to reach the world for Christ, and he's really working with the Jewish people, and his life becomes different. And God said, Peter, I want you to write a couple of books for me. I don't know that he actually felt that way. Want to write a couple books, but God gave him the words and he wrote them down. And God chose Peter to give us, I think you and I, great hope that we can all do it. I doubt very seriously there's too many of us as bad as Peter was. He walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years. And at the end of the 3 years, when he got in trouble, thought his life was in danger, he reverted back to his old fisherman days and began to let her go with a string of curse words and denying the Lord. I'm not a Christian. I don't even know the man. Leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't know if anybody here has done that. And so from that low point in his life, he began to grow. All of us have low points in our life. We feel like we're doing good. All of a sudden something happens. We lose our temper. We get bitter about something. Go back down. We'll go back up and go back down. We'll go back up and then something triggers it. And we go back down. That's the way humanity is. And without Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to work in our heart. We begin to level those dips out. We begin to kind of let the line become more straight and it becomes more toward Christ, and we are working on things in our life. Let me ask you this. How many of you are working some things in your life today? I mean, you're working on some things. There's some things in your life. I need to work on this to be more pleasing to Christ. I want you to see three goals I think the Lord has for all of us. Number one, the simple one, be redeemed. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1, same book, same chapter as Brother Scott read. Notice, if you would, In verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, this is lutron, this is the word for to buy a slave out of the marketplace. They would have marketplace in the cities, and they would bring slaves, they would buy from different countries, bring them there and say, and it could be a man that didn't pay his bills. It could be a preacher that didn't pay his bills. And so he's there, and they're going to auction him off until he pays back his debt. So he's there, and these slaves are there, and he says, okay, I'll give 20 pieces of silver to that slave. I'll give 10 pieces of silver. The average was like 30 pieces of silver for what Jesus was sold for, the price of a common slave. So now let's go back and read it. For as much as you were, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Nobody paid 20 or 30 pieces of silver for you. As silver and gold. Verse number 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. As of lamb without spot. Now, we're sinners, all of us. But let me just define for you a little bit about that sinner. When we're unsaved, we don't realize that we're as bad a sinner as we are. We're sort of ignorant to the cost of our sin. Whether you accept Christ or not as your Savior and go to heaven, that is your choice. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have that choice. But if you don't accept Christ as Savior and you don't look at your sin, obviously you've not realized the value of your sin, the cost of it. Because it cost the Son of God, the creator of this world, his blood, his death. It's sin to say, I'm not that bad, when it took the Son of God's death to buy you back from your sin. So I think a lot of times we don't realize the cost of our sin. And that within itself is a wickedness in our heart. We don't realize the price that someone is paying because they love us and want to get us out of this sin market. They want to clean up our lives. They want to make it where we're not the old man. I want to give you a new life. I have a home in heaven I've prepared. I want you to have it. We have to make that choice. But number two, our sin not only costs more than we think, it hurts God more than we think. How many of you have ever done something that you knew hurt your parents? Don't raise your hand. But you did something and you knew it hurt your parents to the core. Maybe you said something. Or maybe you just did something. But you knew it caused them great hurt and pain. Nobody in this room, including myself, understands the hurt that each individual in this room caused the heart of God as we sin. We just don't understand it. We don't have a spiritual mind, really, and it's beyond what we can imagine. When we're dishonest, when we lie about something, when we're deceitful about something, when we're untruthful about something, when we get bitter about something, when we hold a grudge, we have no idea the hurt that causes the God of heaven. But I want you to notice, not only that, we don't understand the hurt it causes to us. Every funeral we've ever had in this building is because that person was a sinner. Sin destroys our body. It's like a disease. We have no idea. Some people damage their bodies more than others. So the sin they commit shortens their life. But we have no idea what sin does to us. How many have ever wondered about, we're told you better eat healthy. How many of you know, you've heard the word eat healthy? What does that mean? I don't even know what water to drink. Have you gone to the store? I've gone to the store and said, okay, I've got electrified water. I've got pure spring water. I've got colored water, flavored water. I mean, there's water from all kinds. Which one's good? Well, I've got a well. I'm just going to drink that well water because at least God made that, I know it. But did you hear about Camp Lejeune? How many have heard about that? Hundreds of thousands of soldiers drank bad water. And apparently they knew it and didn't fix it. I want you to understand now, we do sin and there's a price for each one of those sins. If we eat too much, how many have ever ate too much and the next morning or that night you went in and said, oh, I had way too much. Anybody other than me ever done that? You know, and you feel bad about it? And so, you know, there's a part of that. The Lord allows us to feel bad and say, don't do that again. And then somebody puts another pizza out there and we do it right again. How many ever said, I'm going to go yesterday. We had the Platinum Club. And I said, I'm going to the Platinum Club, and I'm only going to eat salad. There's a bowl of salad my wife made. It's like Olive Garden said, it's all I'm eating. Because it was sort of like a brunch kind of meal. It was really tremendous. It was great. And so Del Topper made some quiche. Now, I can't spell that because we don't have that in Texas. I didn't know what that was. Really, I did know what it was, but I didn't know what you could do with it. I thought it was just like a pie of sorts. And so I told my wife, I'm not going to have any of that quiche. I'm not going to have any of anything. I'm just going to eat salad. No desserts, no nothing. She said, now this one is ham and cheese quiche. Never heard of that. Here, this is a sausage quiche. And there were about four different quiches. I looked at that and I said, man, that looks good. I didn't want it to look good. I was trying to be good. Well, I'm telling you what I did. I just fess up. I went through and I got one of every piece of quiche. And my wife made something. She said, I'm going to make what was that stuff called? French toast. I don't like French toast. We don't have that in Texas. I don't eat French toast. Eat bacon and steak and eggs and stuff like that. French toast. So I looked at that. And then she had a little bowl of cream sauce. An 8-miler. You have to run 8 miles to get it off. I dipped into that, took a little bit of that, and I said, my French toast was dripping with that sauce. I want you to know, I looked at the salad. I didn't get one speck of salad. I'm so ashamed of myself. I said, honey, I want you to know I didn't eat any of your salad. But I ate a lot of that quiche stuff. I'm telling you that. And oh, by the way, your French toast, man, I think I had two or three helpings of that. I had double helpings of the quiche. I felt bad. I was looking around to make sure nobody was looking so I could get another one, make sure they didn't think I ate too much of it. I let everybody go through once. And I went back and said, man, that ham and cheese stuff was out of this world. It was delicious. And I got back. I don't know who does this, but then she had my favorite candy bars and the little bitty ones, Snickers, Twix, a bowl of them, sort of tucked away behind. I think I had every dessert that was there, and all I was going to do was eat salad. Anybody ever done that other than me? You go someplace, you can do that? It was like the old devil sitting on my shoulder saying, that looks good, get it. You're right, I got it. I want you to know something. I felt terrible about myself. I went home and I said, I'm not going to eat another thing today. And I told Janet, didn't I tell you that? She said, well, pizza sounds good. Sounds good to me too. I went and bought a pizza. That's sin, I'm telling you. And I felt bad all day. So this morning I got up, I didn't touch my oatmeal. And she said, she talked to me. I didn't even mention my normal oatmeal. I'm too embarrassed. I can't eat oatmeal. You know, and then I got on the scale. And the scale said, one at a time, please. I don't need all that. No, it didn't. It didn't. But it said more than I wanted. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I've been confessing all day. Anybody here other than me does that? So I made up my mind this week. I've done that 14 times since we got married, okay? This is the week I'm going to start. You guys know what I'm talking about. Now listen very carefully. When you do that with a lie, or when you do that with a lust, or when you do that with covetousness, or with a little dishonesty, It's the same thing. Only we have no idea how much it hurts the Lord. We don't know how much it hurts our testimony. We don't know how much it hurts. But Jesus Christ died to pay for that. Have you been redeemed? That's his first goal. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. You've come to him and said, Lord, I want you to forgive me of all my sin. Past, present, and future. Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry you forgive me. And he says, when we do that, it's forgiven. But then, notice if you would, look in verse number 14. We're to be real simple. Be redeemed. Number two, be righteous. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lusts and ignorance. Don't do those same things again. Peter, you remember when you cursed and you swore, and you remember whenever you, it was at the transfiguration, and you said, hey, well, it's good we're all here. Let's build some booths for each one of these, and you, Lord. And God the Father said, this is my beloved son. And Peter went, oops. I didn't mean to put Jesus in the same group as men. Peter is always doing that. He said, Peter, would you write as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance? Peter, I know you didn't mean to do those things. You didn't plan to do those things, but you did them. Give them some hope that it can be different. And let them be righteous. Now notice what he says, verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so the example is the God of heaven. So you and I are to never commit these sins. But we do, and what do? We say, Lord, I'm sorry. We try to make it right. And over time, we begin to drop these sins of habit, and we begin to change our habits. And that's what he's saying. I want you to be righteous. I want you to see an opportunity to say something that's wrong and say, I'm not going to say that. Righteous. I want you to have an opportunity to be angry at somebody, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do right. I'm going to be righteous. Now, notice if you would, look at verse 11 of chapter 2. 11 of chapter 2, 1 Peter. Dearly beloved, do you notice what he's saying, the words that he used in Peter? Look, dearly beloved, hey, can I just talk to you for a minute? My brothers and sisters in Christ, he's not yelling at us. He's not screaming at us. He's pleading with us that we would be righteous, that would take the God of heaven as our example. Notice, if you would, in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you. You know what that is? That's like getting down on your knees and saying, look, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. Would you consider this? Would you consider being righteous? In your business practices, would you consider giving your boss a little more work effort and time than you get paid for? Would you do a little bit more? Would you forgive people that don't forgive you? Would you go a little bit farther? Would you go the second mile for me? Would you be righteous? Notice what he says in verse 11. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now, do you get what that means? Now, I'm from Texas. I'm a stranger to Virginia. It's home now, but I still feel a real longing for Texas. I don't want to go back, but I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. Now he says, okay, let's pause for a minute. When you got saved, how many of you were born in Virginia? Would you raise your hand? How many of you, keep it up if you're saved, okay? You're a pilgrim and a stranger. You know why? Because when you got saved, your new home is in heaven. You're temporarily here until the Lord calls you home. So he says, between now and the time I call you home, be righteous. Look what he says. Look here. Look in verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I seat you as strangers and pilgrims. You're just traveling through this life. Don't let this become your permanent heart's place. Let your heart be in heaven. I don't want to be like the Lord. Let your desires to be with him. Notice he says, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And let me just describe that. Abstain is apexamai. It's to hold oneself off. Now, I gave the example of me eating because when I went in there, I looked at it. I looked at the salad and I said, man, that looks good. But that ham and cheese quiche, it looks better. And I could have said, I'm not going to do that. And then I saw her French toast and I said, man, it looks good. And I saw somebody else go before me and they dipped that in that sauce. And I got a little bit, I don't know how it happened, but I got it on my plate, put it in my mouth, and it was like, oh. And I had no ability to say, hold myself off. Apexamai. I found my hand going toward the bowl. Who's doing that? What's going on? Who's doing that? Oh, it's me. And then I sat down and my plate is piled up. I said, only salad. I looked at it and I said, you know, I do that sometimes in my life. I'm not going to be upset at that person, even though I know they're going to say this or do this. And it happens. I'm going to forgive every driver that cuts me off without an ounce of thought. And then the thought comes in. I promise you, I've never run somebody off the road, period. Don't even think about it. But I do think about if I was in a tank and I could you see, all of us have got these besetting sins that, notice what the word was, war against the soul. You know what that means? It means it causes you to not feel right in your heart. And so you battle it in your heart and you're trying to make it right, but you can't. So you go back and confess it and you make it right. And then you got to put some guidance in. So you say, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm going to go to the Platinum Club, but I'm not going to eat anything but salad. But I didn't do that. So Lord, you help me to be stronger. The next time we have Platinum Club, I'm only going to eat this. Or I'm only going to eat that. If I go out to dinner, I'm going to only eat this. I'm going to only eat that. And so Lord, give me the strength to say, no. Listen to the word again. It's just this, to hold oneself off and be righteous. I'm going to listen to my parents. I'm going to listen to my teachers. I'm going to do exactly what they say. I'm going to do my homework and have it ready on time. I'm going to be on time at work. I'm going to have the right spirit. I'm going to make my boss look good. And then something happens and we be righteous. And then the last one, I want you to notice this. If you'll notice in verse 12 of chapter 2, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, let me explain this. Be real. Now, let me tell you the difference between being righteous and being real. Being righteous would have been if I had just only eaten the salad and done it good. But if I'd have walked out of there and I said, man, that sure looked good, and I'd have tormented myself because I did do right, but it hasn't become my nature. You see, we're all born with a physical, natural nature. In other words, it's our nature to get a little bitter. It's our nature to get a little angry. It's our nature to say things, tell somebody off a little bit. It's our nature to lust. It's our nature to covet. It's our nature to do these things. But our spiritual nature says, no, I'm not going to do that. But once we get to a certain point in our spiritual nature, we become real. That's our nature. I'm just going to eat salad. I'm going to eat this and this and this. And I do it because it's my habit. And people see that, here it is, I enjoy doing right. I'm real. I enjoy coming to church. I'm real. I do enjoy coming to church. I enjoy singing. I do enjoy singing by myself. I enjoy and the spiritual things. I enjoy getting up in the morning. I look forward to getting up in the morning and talking with the Lord. I enjoy that. I want you to know that I'm not putting on things to be your pastor. I'm putting things on and taking things off to please him. And if you're pleased, great. Now, I do flub up every once in a while, but I'm trying to be real. So that if people see pastor, they say, he's going to do what's right. Maybe not with his food, but he's going to do what's right. Okay? And he is real because that's what he wants to do. In other words, I've tried to switch the fleshly desires to spiritual desires. That what I want to do is please him. And now it's my new spiritual nature to always forgive, to always bless my enemies, to always be good to people, to always be better to people than they are to me, to always let the guy that's cutting me off slow down a little bit, come on in. Yesterday there was a lady, I was proud of myself because there was a lady that was trying to get in line. I was at Costco. How many have ever been in the line to get out of Costco? You're sitting beside the gas station and you're right there and people are trying to get in on both sides. You're trying to, you know, trying to get in front of you, you know? And so I'm very proud of myself. I sat there, I pulled up and one lady came in and she went in front of me. Sure. Lady over here to the right, she wanted to get in line. She did. And now she comes across and, you know, I did have this thought, man, she didn't even acknowledge it. It was a nice deed. And she drives, gets right in front of me, and pauses for a minute. Didn't get upset. I thought about it. Got upset. Pulls on over. And she probably took 20 seconds of my time. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm in a hurry. Anybody ever been in a hurry? All of a sudden, come on, hurry up. Get out of the way. I didn't have any of those things. I was really proud of myself. I was not so proud of myself that I said, Lord, I'm doing good. I said, Lord, help me to make this my nature. I want it to be real. All I'm trying to share with you is that you and I understand you want to be redeemed. You want to be righteous. But the step above righteous is when it's what you want to do and it brings you your great joy. Lord, I want you to know I let that lady go by because of you. Lord, I want to do what's right. I want to have the right spirit. Lord, I forgave so-and-so because, Lord, for you. You're my example. And I want to close with this. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. For this is thankworthy. This is 1 Peter 2:19. Now keep in mind, this is written by Peter. The guy that gets bitter, the guy that curses, the guy, his whole life is different. He's become real and God's using him to write this book. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God, that's what I want my life to be. Everything I do is because, Lord, I want you to be pleased with me. Conscience toward God. Endure grief, suffering wrongfully. And say, praise the Lord. That's what I want. That's being real. And notice, if you would, verse 21. Now, once you get this, everybody in this room, for even hereunto were ye called. Did you know God is calling everybody in this room to be real? For conscience toward God. That's why I love my wife. Conscience toward God. He said, husbands, love your wives. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to enjoy doing it. Forgive your neighbor. I'm going to do that. I'm going to enjoy doing it, Lord. So when I come to church, I come to church with joy in my heart because my heart is right and I'm doing what's right to please him. And it brings me joy. I'm real. I want to be real more than anything else in my life because I've seen Christians be redeemed, be righteous, and not be real. And I don't want that for me, I don't want it for you. I'll close with this. I was a youth pastor for 14 years. My first youth group, Carolyn Dalton, are you back there? Would you raise your hand? Do you remember Jan Buter? Okay, Jan Buter was a teenage girl in the youth group. She was as real as anybody you've ever met. Am I correct? She's our missionary to Brazil. She'd been there for 40 years. Well, let me tell you what I saw. I saw other kids not doing what's right. I saw some of them doing what's right. And this young lady, she played the piano. And she practiced and she practiced and she practiced. And, Jen, would you play the piano? Oh, I'd be happy to, Pastor. I mean, all over the place. It was wonderful. And she never once said, do I have to? She was real. And she came to church and, hey, hi, Jen. Hi, Pastor. She was real. And she met this guy named Eddie, and Eddie married her, said, I'm going to Brazil. I'll go. They planted multiple churches. They're training nationals. She's training the nationals to play the piano in Brazil. She is one of the sweetest, most godly, righteous, real people I've ever met. And she started in this group right here. I've seen people start in this group. Platinum Club. Doesn't matter when you start. My question is, will you start? You got to be redeemed. You got to be righteous. But then take you to the next level. Conscience toward God. That's why I obey my husband. That's why I obey my parents. That's why husbands, I obey the Lord. I love my wife. I love my family. I do everything because of my conscience toward the Lord. I want him to be pleased. I treat people right. They don't deserve it, but neither do I. Lord, thank you for your goodness to me. When I think of in the youth group, Jan Buter, I said, Lord, help me to be like that. Today, are you real? Conscience toward God. That's the key. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved, baptized. You'd like to be a part of our church. I encourage you to come. We'd love to have you be a part of our church this morning. We'd love to have you. If you need to be baptized, let me know. We'd love to have you come and we'll help you get baptized. We'll do it. We'll get you prepared for tonight. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never been redeemed. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. You come to me, I'll help you. You can leave here this morning knowing you have a home in heaven, and it's forever. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've had a rough week. I'm not as righteous as I want to be. Or maybe you would say, I'm certainly not real. It's not my nature. It doesn't bring me joy, but I want it to be there. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand and sing. You come talk to the Lord about it. He'll help you to become his peculiar treasure. One in a thousand that's real. That's what God's looking for. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Dear Holy Spirit, take free reign in this service. In your name we pray. Amen.